Good morning. Today we are completing our topic of Pidyon Shvuim, which is redeeming Jewish captives. And unfortunately, the most relevant type of Pidyon Shvuim that we have in the land of Israel constantly on our minds is when the Arab terrorists, Hamas and the like, continue to make attempts to take Jewish captives, especially soldiers in the army, in order to use them as bargaining chips to have terrorists being held in Israeli prisons, to have them redeemed, to do a prisoner exchange. So we're going to try to apply the concepts we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks to see if this is permitted, if this is not permitted, is this required. So on a high level, we have seen that the Mishnah tells us, as detailed in the Gemara, and as we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, ein podim es ha-shvuyin, yoser mikdei demeyan mishum tikkun ha-olam, that we do not redeem captives in excess of their value because of tikkun ha-olam Chazal instituted. We do not redeem in excess of value. And we talked about what does that mean, value. And the primary concern here is that if we are redeeming captives in excess of their value, that means that the terrorists are going to be inspired to continue taking Jewish captives, especially from the Israeli army. So if we are engaging in discussion with terrorists, it may help on this occasion to get the Jews out of the hands of the terrorists. But unfortunately, things will simply continue because they see that we are playing ball and they will continue to take Jewish captives. Now, there are two primary reasons for this. Number one is because we're dealing with terrorists, and they've been terrorists, and they're terrorists before they go to the Israeli prisons, and they will continue to be terrorists after they get out of the Israeli prison. So that's problem number one. Let them out, you're letting terrorists out of jail, and they will continue to be terrorists. And number two, they see that their plans were successful. They know that they will be bartered in the future. They are going to engage in terror. They know they'll get out of prison and in a prisoner exchange, and then they'll continue to do what they've done in the past, take captives of Jews, because they know they will just be bartered for and let out in the future. So on the one hand, obviously, we want to get every Jew out of captivity, and that is a sign of rachamim. That is tremendous rachamim. We want to worry about every single Jew and get them out of captivity. On the other hand, at the same time, when we are agreeing to prisoner exchange, it's a sign of rachamim for that individual or those individuals, but it is backfiring vis-a-vis the other people, because when we let the terrorists out, they typically return to their ways, and what is an act of rachamim in letting the Gilad Shalits of the world out, that backfires when it comes to other people, and that is not a sign of rachamim. It may be the opposite. So that's the lay of the land, and what we're going to go through now are three different rationales why maybe it would be permitted to engage in prisoner exchanges. So we bring three different rationales, but we will also see the problems with applying these rationales. So the first rationale is as follows. We said that although we cap the amount that we can redeem a captive for at the value of that captive, and that happens to be fairly low, we did say that there are some exceptions to the rule that it's permitted to redeem a captive in excess of that individual's value. And one of them is that Chazal never instituted that this prohibition of redeeming a Jewish captive in excess of his value. Chazal instituted that that does not apply to somebody who wants to redeem himself. One is permitted to redeem himself. And we said Ishto Kagufo, that some poskim say that you can redeem your wife in excess of value, and that's not doesn't fall under the prohibition. So based on that rationale, when we have specifically people who are working on behalf of the country, and we're talking primarily, maybe even exclusively about the soldiers who are engaged in the protection of the country and the citizens of the country, that, in effect, is when there is a need to redeem an individual like that. That is the country not redeeming somebody else, but redeeming himself or herself. And accordingly, if that is a person you're redeeming yourself, because this is somebody acting on behalf of the tzibor, then it would be permitted to redeem the captive in excess of his or her value. So that would be rationale number one, just like you're permitted to redeem yourself in excess of value, so too it'd be permitted in this instance to redeem a soldier, because that's simply the country deeming itself. Now, the problem with that rationale is as follows. That whole heter of redeeming yourself in excess of value talks about redeeming yourself for money, for material items. So that's why it's permitted. But that doesn't necessarily extrapolate that it would be permitted to engage in an exchange of terrorists for a Jewish captive or captives, which would cause a sakana, which would cause a danger to others as a result of the exchange, and especially because it causes a sakana to the tzibur. So this rationale that I'm redeeming myself, we really did see that in the context of redeeming yourself in excess of monetary value, but not doing an exchange of captives when it would cause a sakana, letting terrorists out of Israeli prison. So that would be rationale number one, and a problem with that rationale. Rationale number two is based on what we saw before. The Beis Yosef brings the Haggadah Mamonios, who says that you're required to put yourself into a suffix sakana, a potential sakana, in order to redeem somebody who is in a vadai sakana. Accordingly, if there is a Jew who is in captivity, that person is in definitive sakana, it's being held by the terrorists, so we would be obligated and to redeem that person, even if it would cause a suffix sakana to others, because those terrorists may return to their terroristic ways. Now, that is rationale number two. Rationale number two, that it's just that person is in a vadai sakana, so we need to engage in an exchange, even if it's at the risk of a suffix sakana afterward. The problem with this, there are a number of issues with this rationale. Number one, as we have seen in the past, whenever there have been these prisoner exchanges, it's not simply that there is a potential that there will be sakana to Jews in the future, but it has materialized inevitably that when we are redeeming captives, when we are redeeming Jewish captives, and we are letting go, we are exchanging for them terrorists, it's a vadai sakana, because a very high percentage of the people who are let out of the Israeli prisons because of an exchange of prisoners, many of them indeed go back to terror, and there have been, Rahman al-Itzlan, many Jews who have been killed because of this exchange. So the rationale of the Agos Mamonios is we are permitted to have or required to enter a suffix sakana in order to redeem somebody from a vadai sakana. We are not creating a suffix sakana here. We are creating a vadai sakana. That is problem number one with this rationale. Problem number two is that we brought that halacha that you are required to put yourself into a suffix sakana to release somebody who's in a vadai sakana. That is brought by the Beis Yosef in the name of the Agos Mamonios, but the Shulchan Aruch himself does not bring that halacha. So when we have something that's in the Beis Yosef, but not in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like that Beis Yosef. We would paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is silent on this issue, and accordingly, we would paskin that one is not obligated to put himself into a suffix sakana in order to take care of somebody else's vadai sakana. And also, even though Agos Mamonios was talking about when we are creating a suffix sakana for an individual, not to the tzibur as a whole. So that is rationale number two, based on Agos Mamonios and the problems with that rationale. Rationale number three, to permit or maybe even obligate a prisoner exchange, getting the Jews out of the hands of the terrorists, even at the expense of releasing terrorists out of Israeli jails, is Kevan Shistaken Avor HaKlal. This person who is now in captivity, he put himself in danger for everyone. Avor HaKlal. So accordingly, we would have an obligation, we would have an achrayus, because he was acting on behalf of the tzibur, he put himself into danger for the tzibur. Accordingly, we would be obligated to redeem that person, even if it was a sakana, even if it's a real sakana, it would be an obligation to redeem that person to save him from that sakana. He's the person who is in the sakana, but because he put himself into danger, we would have an obligation, the achrayus, to redeem him. And the rationale here is that we have somebody acting on behalf of the Tzibor, on behalf of the army, and it's necessary for the morale of the army, for the soldiers to know that if something happens, they will indeed be looked after. Accordingly, every soldier who is fighting will know that if they're fighting and they fall into captivity, they'll know that efforts are being made on their behalf to get them out of there. And in that, indeed, that is a very powerful and important rationale to engage in an exchange, because it supports the morale of the entire army, knowing that they will be watched after. Now, there are also concerns about this rationale, and number one is that still we are putting people, the tzibor, into a real sakana here. Should be yadusha tisaken et sharatosh avim al yedei shichruza. We know we're putting people into a real sakana because of this. And I think the most powerful rationale about this is it's true. The army understands that they will be looked afterward and the morale is important. But truth be told, the result of engaging in these exchanges is that they continue and continue and continue. And things happened. And when we engage in the exchange, they grab more soldiers and more soldiers, and then always making attempts. If we wouldn't engage in the exchange in the first part, to start with, then they're not going to be inspired to doing these to be taking more captives from the Jews. So if we just stop it right then, we're not engaging in discussions with terrorists. And the korban would be that individual sitting in the prison or the whatever they call it. It's not a real prison there. They're holding us a Jew as a captive in their outpost or whatever it may be. But if we say we're not engaging in discussions with you, period, they see they're not going to get anything, so they won't engage in future attempts to take Jewish captives. So that may be a stronger rationale and a stronger statement, truth be told, that may help the morale anymore. They're not coming after us because they know they're not going to accomplish anything by taking captives of Jewish soldiers. So we have three rationales that we've gone through. And indeed, there are issues with those rationales. And the bottom line for us is to daven. To daven for the safety of those who are protecting Klal Yisrael, that each and every one of them should be safe and not harmed, and to be successful in their avodas hakodesh that they are engaging in. And we'll leave the decisions on these to the poskei halacha. Rachman Litzlan, it shouldn't happen, but if it does happen, the poskim should make the decision very much based on the facts and circumstances of each case. Have a wonderful day.